Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my special guest today is Aaron Ashmore, one of the stars of Sci-Fi Channel's Killjoys. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Thank you for having me.
You are a star on one of my new favorite TV shows, and I don't think I can fully express how much fun and pain and just tension that this show causes me. So thank you.
You enjoy it, though. The pain and tension doesn't sound necessarily enjoyable.
Well, it's a good thing because that means that the stories are compelling. I'm pulled in. I'm connected to the characters. And I hate seeing them go through pain. And that makes the story more fun for me.
This is true. Then we are doing our job then.
You are. And I've told other friends of mine that Killjoys is my new Firefly. And...
Oh, that's high praise.
Hey, it matches. It does match. I have a whole thesis on how Firefly and Killjoys matches up, which I may have to like write up and put online someday, but...
Sounds very interesting.
Maybe I'll share it with you later. But in season two, we have the team apart, the team coming back together, and more mysteries are being divulged that... show that life outside the quad seems to be preparing to invade the quad.
That seems to be what they're setting up, doesn't it?
It does. And once again, Johnny's heart is getting him in trouble.
Yeah, that seems to be John's weakness at times is his heart. And although I've been talking to some other people recently about, you know, he has gotten himself in trouble, but a lot of the time he's actually the one that's getting the team out of trouble. A lot of the time they end up in these scenarios and they're like, John, get us out of it. Like, we need, and he uses his head to get himself out of things. But I think sometimes when he follows his heart, that's when he gets in trouble because he's not necessarily rationally thinking things through. He's just sort of jumping in. And in the world that we're living in the quad, that can get you into a lot of trouble because things are not simple.
Okay, I do want to avoid as many spoilers as I can, but how are you handling the challenges for facing Johnny this season? Because it seems to me Johnny's gone off on his own a lot more than he did in season one. And that's starting to make him evaluate whether or not being a Killjoy is the right thing for him. That's how I'm seeing it. Is that sort of the thing?
I don't think that he doesn't want to be a Killjoy. I think he wants to be a Killjoy more than anything. And I think that he wants to work with his team more than anything. But there's also another part of him that is sort of, his heart is pulling him in a different direction. I think he finds it very difficult and doesn't necessarily understand how these other guys can just sit on the fence and stay impartial when these people are hurting so much. And again, it's not that Davin and Dutch don't want to help people, but they're so wrapped up in the level six stuff and especially for Dutch, you know, figuring out what Klein has to do with all this, that they don't have a lot of time for specifically helping the people of Old Town. And John just can't get past that. I mean, these are people that he lives with, that they live amongst. And obviously he cares about, you know, the bigger picture, the level six and stuff, but I don't think that he can just sit by and watch people hurt. That's not in his makeup. So I think the only way that he's able to do that is sort of tell some white lies and sort of not basically fill Dutch and dive in on everything that he's doing. So I know that in one episode he says something about like, well, maybe, you know, the warrant isn't all for me. But I don't think that that means that he doesn't want to be a Killjoy. I think that it is what it is. It's like, maybe I need a little bit more. Maybe I need to fulfill this other part of me, which is helping people and taking care of people. So yeah, it's pretty complicated. So we'll see how that all plays out.
So you're enjoying the new complexity they've given you to play for Johnny.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. This season, you were mentioning there's definitely more of an A storyline and a B storyline. The A storyline being, Dav and Dutch and the Sixers and Klein and that sort of way. And then obviously there's the John and the Potter and the Wall and Old Town, like that's sort of the B storyline. So it's just a different sort of way of storytelling that a lot of shows do have, like A and B storylines, but we didn't really have that in the first season. So it's just a little different, and I think it allows for the show to sort of focus on more characters. Because the first season, obviously, it was the three of us most of the time. But this way, when we sort of break off, we're able to sort of include more of our supporting cast in the storylines. And I think that that's done the show really well, too, because I think Alvis, Potter, Pri, Fancy, Klein, I mean, these characters are all so very, very interesting. So the more we can kind of incorporate them into the storylines, I think the stronger the show gets. So yeah, I think it's been a very interesting season so far.
Well, I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I mean, I think taking the time in season one to create the team dynamic, change it up a little bit, and then make it stronger at the beginning of season two gives everyone a solid base from which to see the explorations of all these other characters because they are fascinating. Rob Stewart, the way he plays Klein, totally intrigues me. That.
Absolutely.
And the funny part when Klein and Davin switched consciousnesses, and Davin is playing Klein and Klein is playing Davin, I couldn't stop laughing. That was just a wonder to behold.
Yeah, they absolutely nailed it. And like when you watch it and it works, it's fun, whatever, but that's like a very difficult thing to pull off, and the fact that both of them pulled it off so well is just speaks very highly of how talented they are as actors.
Did they have a lot of fun behind the scenes with that filming that sequence?
To be honest with you, I was not there for any of that stuff, but I would imagine it was fun. But again, like it's probably so difficult and you're having to like think about so many things and try and incorporate somebody else's physicality and all that stuff. So I would imagine there was fun moments, but I also imagine it's probably pretty stressful and probably pretty difficult to really to do it well. And there's a lot of pressure there too to be like, yeah, like we have to make this work. So I'm sure that they had fun, but it's not like Rob was there when when Luke was probably filming stuff and vice versa. They were, obviously completely separate days, separate scenes. So I don't know. I think it was actually probably a very difficult thing to pull off.
What's been the most challenging thing for you to do this season?
Well, I think, just in general, the show, even though it moves very fast and there's a lot of humor in that to it, it's a difficult show as an actor because they ask these characters and the style of the show asks so much of you. You have to be able to do comedy to switch to some very dark and serious moments. You have to be able to do the action well. So these are very three-dimensional characters and it's so fast-paced and so busy that it's an exhausting show to do. And it's fun. Like there's no doubt about it. It's fun, but it's probably one of the more difficult shows I've ever worked on, just as far as the things that you have to be able to do. And so as far as like the difficult things, the action stuff I find to be quite challenging because it's like very fast paced. We don't have tons of time to shoot it, so you got to learn it really quick and be able to pull it off, and that's difficult. I also find that John is so emotionally available, or he wears his heart on his sleeve so much that it's hard to get there sometimes. Because I'm not quite, I'm a pretty sensitive guy. I'm a pretty emotional guy, but John is just, his emotions are so on his sleeve. And sometimes that's difficult to just be in that place where you're always just feeling things so much and able to just access those, whatever those emotions would be. So it's a very challenging and interesting character and show to work on. And I think that if you asked any of the other actors, they'd probably say the same thing. It's very rewarding, but it's challenging every episode. There's so many things that you have to be able to pull off, and it's fun.
Well, speaking of comedy and emotions, there was a sequence where Lucy's consciousness was inside of an android, and that android asked John to kiss
No, a
her.
gynoid. A gynoid.
A gynoid.
This is what I've learned from doing this episode, is that android is actually a masculine term for a robot, and gynoid is actually the female version. So that's what I learned from doing episode 6.
Okay.
So there you go.
There you go. So that...
You learn something every day.
I will write that down. But that was hilariously played, because you see this look on Johnny's face where he doesn't want to do it, but then there's that part of in the back of his brain is like, I get to kiss a robot.
Well, Johnny is strangely aroused and turned on by technology. Like, mm-hmm. there's no denying. I mean, I don't know how sexual it is, but he gets so excited about these things. The wall, the asteroid ship. Like, basically, anytime there's like some sort of new technology, he's excited to the point of it almost being bizarre to me. I'm just like, is he turned on? Anyways, but it's kind of fun, you know? So the idea of Johnny kissing a robot is hilarious because it's so in his character. Like, Davin would be like, no, I'm not, that's too weird. But John sort of has that slight hesitation of like, should I? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to do this. I'm going to try this. So it was kind of a sweet moment, actually. I wasn't sure how it was going to play. I wasn't sure if it was going to seem bizarre or people were going to be like, ew, that's gross. But it seemed that people, you know, that we pulled off, I think, it working, sort of being sweet and sort of being fun. And obviously working with Tamsin was really fun because I'd met her a couple times, but, you know, she's never on set, even though she's such a big part of the show. So it was really cool to actually have her on set to hang out with and get to work with and interact with. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the scene did come across as very sweet, and just you got more of a sense, because in the first season it was very obvious that Lucy, whatever she really is, had genuine feelings for Johnny to the point where she would defy mm-hmm. Dutch, and that sort of came across, that this was her deal more than it was Johnny's, and it came across for me very plain and very sweet.
Yeah. And that's, you know, the interesting thing in season one, everybody said, oh, there's like this, you know, kind of romance or something between them. And I never saw that on the page. You know, it was sort of only when Tamsin started reading the lines and obviously like in post-production that sort of element of it was created. So I didn't know that there was going to be that real sort of element to it. But Tamsin did such a good job of really putting emotion and personality into it. And I think that the reason that John is Lucy's favorite is it sort of comes down to something very simple, and in that I think he really respects her. He talks to her like another part of the team, whereas in elements of the first season, when Dav first comes on the ship, he's talking to her like, okay, computer, like da da da. And even Dutch is kind of rude to Lucy at times. They kind of bicker more than anything, where I think John really talks to her and treats her as if she's just another person, like another part of the team. And I think that's probably where that sort of affection or that connection sort of comes from.
Yeah. And to me, it seems like it's an outgrowth of Johnny's fascination and respect for technology. He realizes that Lucy...
Absolutely.
Is technology way beyond anything he could ever create or fully understand. So he respects that. And therefore he respects
Absolutely.
The AI that is Lucy. Excellent.
Yeah. And it falls into John's character. I mean, he's very compassionate and very, you know, open and all those things. So why wouldn't that sort of translate into this technology, into this other personality?
Mm-hmm. It's something that I see in Johnny's character. He always treats people he meets with respect unless they give him a reason not to.
And then, yeah, totally. And I think he really enjoys being snarky and sarcastic to people too. You know, like I think he can be a very nice guy, but I think there's something slightly antagonistic to him too. Like if you push his buttons or you screw with his people, like he's happy to give it back to you and all that stuff. So those are fun things to play. I mean, the opening scene of the show in season one, it's basically Johnny just like giving these guys complete snark and complete sarcasm. And he just loves it. He's getting beat up and he's just like loving being rude to these guys. So yeah, there's sort of a dual aspect to his personality. If you treat him well then he's going to do everything for you. If you go against him, if you hurt anybody that he cares about, he's happy to put you down or whatever. So it's kind of a fun dynamic to play.
And it is a whole lot of fun to watch. So thank you.
Oh, good. My pleasure.
So what are you doing when you're not filming Killjoys? What are projects do you have coming up that we can check you out in?
Well, this year, I actually just had a baby girl early June. So this year, I've sort of taken the hiatus off. Well, hopefully we get a third season, and hopefully this is a hiatus and not just the end of things. You never know when you're an actor, when you're working on a TV show. But yeah, I'm just taking the summer off to just get to know my baby girl and spend some time with her. Fortunately, as you know, in this business, we have time off, and the time off lined up really well that my wife was having the baby just like right after we finished filming the second season. So I'm going to lay low and hopefully hear about a pickup for the show very soon.
Well, congratulations on becoming a dad.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited.
And I'm safe to say that I'm speaking for a lot of people out there. I hope we find out news about a season 3 pickup really soon too, because ending on a cliffhanger would annoy me, especially if there's no resolving it.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel fairly confident that we'll get a third season. I think that for a summer show, we do very well. And I think the quality of our show is really high. You know, I think that sci-fi is definitely pushing their more flagship shows. They're more sort of straight down the barrel, Sirius, The Expanse, 12 Monkeys, like those types of things. They're really advertising and selling the hell out of, but I think that we fulfill something that a sci-fi audience wants, and that's a little bit more fantastic, a little bit more humor, a little bit more space adventure. So I feel really good about our show and the quality of it. So you know, I'm hoping that the fans do too, and then that really helps sci-fi make the decision to pick us up for their season.
Awesome. Well, thank you very, very much for your time today, Aaron.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for your interest, and it's always a pleasure talking.
That's Aaron Ashmore playing Johnny Jacoby on Sci-Fi Channel's Killjoys. Friday nights, check it out. You will not be disappointed. I know I have not been so far. Again, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Hey, you. Stop hiding behind that sofa. Come out from back there. Your sofa wants to talk to you, wants to play footsie with your mind. Listen to it. Relax. Let it in. Starship Sofa, the first podcast ever to win a Hugo Award, with weekly stories from the world's best authors, Michael Moorcock, Peter Watts, Joe Haldeman, Peter F. Hamilton, and many, many, many more, with news and reviews and interviews. Bradbury, Pohl, Wolfe, and Mieville, the sofas chewed the fat with them all. Facts and fictions, articles and particles. Oh, why aren't you listening? StarshipSofa.com. Your best science fictional fix this side of the coffee table.
Yeah, I love this show a lot. Killjoys is just so much fun, and I'm totally serious when I say it's my new Firefly. I fell in love with it just as quickly during season one. And the more time I had to think about it in between season one and season two, this show lines up a lot with Firefly. Of course, the dynamics are different, but a lot of the elements match up if you think about them a little bit too hard, which is probably what I did. But the thesis that I mentioned to Aaron outside of the call, that should be online by now. So if you want to go read it, check it out. It's on the website, sliceofsci-fi.com. I'd like to hear from anyone. Am I crazy? Am I reading too much into it because I love the show and want it to stick around, which is something Firefly never got a chance to? Or do you see the same parallels I do? And do you like the show for it, or does it not matter? Let me know. Andrea Richoff is a new contributor to both Slice of Sci-Fi and Writers After Dark. She has written up a 5-episode review of Dark Matter Season 2. I'm working on Dark Matter interviews, so we'll see how that goes. But she's enjoying the show as much as I'm enjoying Killjoys. I think Jenny was going to write a 5-episode for Killjoys Season 2, I think, unless she's got another deadline. The woman has 14 sci-fi novels out there. She's busy. Let's see, what else? Oh, Parsec Awards finalists were announced this week. Some familiar names are amongst the finalists. The folks at PodCulture have something Doctor Who-ish over there. District of Wonders has 2 different shows that have been nominated, Tales to Terrify and Far-Fetched Fables, shows that I am familiar with and have fun with. And also, yeah, Slice of Sci-Fi made it! Slice of Sci-Fi is a finalist in the 2016 Parsec Awards, and I'm so giddy. I really am. I won't be able to be at Dragon Con for the awards ceremony, but as always, I know that that will be a fun, fun show for all who are there. Not just the awards, but the entire convention. That Dragon Con is, to me, has always been San Diego Comic-Con East. It's anything that takes up multiple hotels with, how else to put this? By gridlocking the center of an entire city for a weekend. It's been 10 years since I was last at Dragon Con. I should make plans to go again, just because. There are also a couple of podcasts listed in the finalists that I've never heard of before. About content creation, the writing, the production. I may have to check those out. I've been listening to The Children of Tendu, which features Javier Grillo-Marswatch and Jose Molina, 2 television writers and producers whose work you are very familiar with. They've worked on Firefly, they've worked on Angel, they've worked on I think Javier created The Middleman, and just a lot of fun science fiction stories, or that, you know, TV shows that all of us have watched and enjoyed. And they talk about how they got into the business of television writing, what goes into being a staff writer on a show, how do you get to be a staff writer on a show, how do you climb up the ladder to being a producer, a showrunner, all sorts of fun stuff that's the behind the scenes, how we make television so you can enjoy television sort of thing. I think each episode is like 1 to 1.5 hours. They've not a regularly scheduled thing. I think they had a lot of episodes in 2014, not so many in 2015 because they were both busy, and more this year so far in 2016. But if you have a curiosity about creating television or how television is created, check it out. It's Children of Tendu, T-E-N-D-U. You can search it for it in iTunes. I think they're also on Stitcher. The two of them have around 40 years experience in the television industry between them, so definitely well worth the listen, I think. We're middle of August now, so everything's ramping up, pointing towards the start of the fall television season again, the 2016-2017 season, which I know a lot of us are looking forward to. I hope I will be able to explore different options for viewing television. Hulu is getting rid of their free tier. They're going to be subscription only. I don't know if they've sold their free tier or they're sharing their free tier with Yahoo, but if you go to view.yahoo.com, you will see the free TV shows and content that Hulu is going to be discontinuing. I'm a subscriber to Hulu already, although I am very, very unhappy with how erratic their app is on my television, or I should say my housemate's television. It craps out. Every now and then I'll be watching a show and I'll get the error message that says, internet browser will close now due to an error. It used to only happen during the commercials. Now it happens in the middle of a TV episode, and that, I don't think I can fully express how badly that pisses me off. And Hulu says, oh, well, we don't support viewing on an internet browser. I'm like, it's not an internet browser on the TV. It's your piece of crap application that's on a Sony television that all of a sudden just goes bleh and vomits all over my viewing experience. So one of these days, I'm going to actually sit down in front of the TV in Hulu and just record. I'm going to record with my little video camera or the video feature on my phone. I don't know which will be easier, but I'm going to just sit there and just hit record until it crashes. Then I'm going to upload the video and post it to Twitter and say, hey, Hulu, this is the behavior I've been telling you about that you tell me you don't support. What's going on? And hopefully that will embarrass them enough to realize that they've been messing with my TV experience for almost a year now and telling me, hey, sorry, it's not our problem. Oh, yeah, it is. Because it's your app that I'm clicking on the TV. I'm actually curious, is it Hulu's problem or is it Sony's problem? Anyway, hopefully by the time September rolls around, I will have one of the new fourth generation Apple TVs. Yes, I'm going with Apple TV instead of with the PlayStation View for several reasons. I have a vast library of iTunes-related content. Nothing except the Apple TV will play that. And I was worried that by choosing the Apple TV, I would be limiting myself to what other choices beyond Hulu and Netflix I could get. Because if I remember correctly, the Apple TV does not include the Amazon Video, because Apple and Amazon just don't like each other. They sit in opposite sides of the playground making faces and flipping fingers at each other. But Kevin Batchelder from Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV mentioned, hey, Sling TV is coming to the Apple TV with the new versions. I'm like, oh, really? Because Sling TV's skinny bundle deal is a better deal than PlayStation View. And I hope I haven't done anything to make Sling increase that price before I get in on it. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, Apple TV is on the horizon for me, and with it, the channels that come with Sling TV. So whatever the 5-day window of viewing current shows is, I don't know if Hulu's getting rid of that. or just getting rid of that for the free levels. If they're still going to give me my ability to watch the new episode the day after it airs because I'm a paying subscriber, that's fine. I'm good with that. The free viewers who have to move over to Yahoo will get the new episode 8 days later, I believe they said. It'll be like 8 days later that'll show up on Yahoo. But I don't know if you have to subscribe to Yahoo or not. I got rid of my Yahoo account ages ago. At least I think I did. But I'd like to check it out just to see what the quality is and what the show selection is, if people stay with them or leave Hulu and hop over to Netflix. I know the CW, all of their shows are going to be on Netflix soonish, which means I'll get to watch Supergirl finally. What else is there? Oh, the rumor is that Hulu's doing this because they want to be better positioned as a competitor to Netflix and Amazon Video. So that should be fun. Also, for those of you who haven't seen it, CWSeed.com, that's CWSeed.com, has a lot of current and old CW shows, CBS shows, available to watch. And not just CBS shows. First of all, that's where you can watch Constantine for now. So I'm happy about that. But they also have the animated Justice League series. I think there's two or three of them in there. They have the Sarah Connor Chronicles, the Terminator TV series. They have Almost Human, which was on Fox. And they have Constantine, which was on NBC. But technically, since Constantine is a DC Comics character, that kind of falls under CBS, CW, Warner Brothers, which is kind of interesting. But as long as I can keep watching Lucifer on Hulu, I'm good. But that's my TV rant for this week. Since we're getting more TV soon, I'm sure I'll have more rants for everybody involved. Because that's my thing. Anyway, that will do it for this episode. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. That number is 602-635-6976. Leave a voicemail message, say hi, ask a question, or if you want to record something longer, feel free to record it yourself and email that to summer@sliceofscifi.com. Listen to the show over on iTunes, over on Stitcher, on TuneIn, and on Krypton Radio. If you do listen to us on iTunes or Stitcher, please leave us a review or a rating. Let other people know that you are enjoying the show and that they should check it out too. Every viewer, every listener helps. Yes, I say viewer because we do still have Slice of Sci-Fi TV and all the cool video reviews that Noah and Darren are putting out. Check us out on Twitter, @SliceofSciFi. @SliceofSciFiTV. We are also Slice of Sci-Fi on Google Plus and Slice of Sci-Fi on YouTube. And as always, the websites are sliceofscifi.com, sliceofscifi.tv, and we have Writers After Dark, kickassmysticninjas.com, and popculturegeeks.com for most of those movies that don't quite fit the science fiction, fantasy, or horror, or paranormal genres. Thank you everyone who's supporting the show, your donations through PayPal or your pledges through Patreon are invaluable. Your support helps keep the websites and the media flowing for everyone to enjoy. Thank you so much. The subscribers and patrons who pledge $5 a month or more have been getting a few bonus audio items so far, like I promised, perks. Everybody gets perks. And I hope that that will continue going on in the future. Maybe more, maybe less. I don't know yet. But whenever they come along, You who are supporting, we salute you. That was totally backwards, wasn't it? But all of you who are supporting the shows, thank you. As always, my eternal thanks and gratitude goes out to my favorite geek rock band, Sci-Fried, for composing the theme music for Slice of Sci-Fi. If you are a fan of geek rock music, or of rock music in general, go check them out over at sci-fried.com. You can hear their newest single, A Tall Ship, which is a tribute to Star Trek for the 50th anniversary. The video is here on the website, and you can also check them out on YouTube. It's a very, very, very good song. They recently performed it at the Star Trek Las Vegas Creation Con as part of their concert there. And I don't know if they're going to Dragon Con this year or not. I should probably find out. I will do that. I will send Chuck an email and find out. But if you like geek rock, go check it out. They have some free songs available for you to download and some awesome albums. Actually, one of the free songs you can download is one that I co-wrote a couple years ago. So, yes, it's Battlestar Galactica related. Why do you ask? Anyway, that's it for this show. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.